Jeremiah 31. At that time, says Yahweh, this is the time of chapter 30, where we've been reading about the ultimate restoration of God's kingdom on the earth with a prince who will be the descendant of David, ultimately talking about the Lord Jesus. At that time, says Yahweh, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The people who were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again will I build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. Again you shall be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who make merry. So this is referring, I think, to how when they came out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, the Egyptians were destroyed, and Miriam led the girls of Israel with their tambourines in the dances. And God is saying, look, I love you with an everlasting love. I loved you then, and even though I've got to punish you and send you into captivity, I will again restore you. As I brought you out of Egypt, I will bring you out of Babylon, and in the last days, God is going to bring all his true people home to his land. And again, there will be even greater rejoicing than there was when Israel crossed the Red Sea. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy its fruit. For there shall be a day when the watchmen on the hills of Ephraim shall cry, Arise, and let us go up to Zion, to Yahweh our God. For thus says Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout for the chief of the nations. Publish, praise, and say, Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, from Babylon, and gather them from the uttermost parts of the land, along with the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her who travails with child. A great company shall they return here. Well, God is saying these wonderful prophecies of the restoration when he's also telling them, you've sinned so badly, you've hurt me, you've caused me wrath, and I'm going to send you into captivity in Babylon. I'm going to destroy the temple. And yet, when he says those things, he also always has in mind his ultimate hope of saving his people. He is a savior God. That is what the Hebrew word Yehoshua, which is translated Jesus in Greek. That's what God is. It means Yah saves. God saves. He wants to save. It's not that he was lashing out in anger at his people. At the very same time that he had to sorrowfully judge them, he has these great plans to revive them in the kingdom. They shall come with weeping, that is, repentant. And with petitions will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by rivers of waters in a straight way, in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, you nations, declare it in the islands far off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock. For Yahweh has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. They shall come and sing in the height of Zion, the Temple Mount, and shall flow to the goodness of Yahweh, to the grain, and to the new wine, and to the oil, and to the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Now this could have happened to the exiles in Babylon and Persia. They could have returned in this glorious way if they had repented. And it didn't quite work out like that, but it will in the end, so they didn't repent, but in the end, God's true people will all repent, and this wonderful kingdom on earth will happen. And it says, they shall not sorrow any more at all. That's pretty well quoted at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, when we're told that God himself will be on earth in the time of the kingdom of God, and will dry the tears from off all faces, and sorrow and sighing will be no more. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, the young men and the old together. I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. I will satisfy the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Thus says Yahweh, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says Yahweh, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your latter end, says Yahweh. Your children shall come again to their own border. So he's sending them into captivity, basically, but he's saying, look, there is hope. You have to have this chastisement, this punishment, but there is hope for your latter end. I've surely heard Ephraim moaning thus, you have chastised me, and I was chastised. Turn me, and I shall be turned, for you are Yahweh my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. After that I was instructed, I struck on my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded, because I bore the reproach of my youth. I think this is God's hope, that his people would say, turn me and I will be turned, for you are Yahweh my God. Unfortunately, the exiles in Persia didn't really have this attitude. Most of them didn't actually come back to the land when they could have done, and those who did didn't really turn to God. But in the end, this will come true, and God's people will repent. Turn me and I will be turned. So if you want to have a heart for God, if you want to turn to God, he will turn you. This is what he does. He doesn't force people, but he confirms them in the way they want to go. Ephraim is my dear son. He is my darling child. Wow, what words. For as often as I speak against him, God had to punish Ephraim, his darling child. But whenever I speak against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says Yahweh. So we notice this in the prophecies in Jeremiah, that whenever God speaks against his people, prophecies of judgment, they're right next to prophecies about God's love and God's restoration, his plan to restore them. Set up road signs, make guideposts, set your heart towards the highway, even the way by which you went. Turn again, Virgin of Israel, to these your sitters. How long will you go here and there, you backsliding daughter? For Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall follow after a man. Saying that the man normally takes the initiative in making a relationship with a woman, but the woman is now going to take the initiative. And I think he means, I'm looking for you to want to turn to me, and then I will come to you. They had to make some repentance. They had to make some move towards God, or else otherwise he would be, as it were, manipulating them and forcing them, and he doesn't do that. Yet again shall they use this speech in the land of Judah, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yahweh bless you, habitation of righteousness, mountain of holiness. For I have satiated the weary soul, and every sorrowful soul have I replenished. On this I awoke. So this was Jeremiah having a vision as he slept. And my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of animal. It shall happen that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to destroy, so will I watch over them to build and to plant. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. They'll no longer blame their sufferings on their ancestors, considering that God was being unreasonable. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them. God took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. He treated them like a little child. He put out his hand as a parent does, so that the little child will hopefully instinctively want to put their hand in his. Now, unfortunately, they were bad children. They did do this, but they took the idols of Egypt with them. And God gave them his covenant, and they broke it. So he says, right, I'll make a new one. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God was going to do something to their heart to make them want to be obedient, to make them want to be his people. And that, of course, was in confirming them in the way that they wanted to go. Turn me and I shall be turned. That's what God hoped they would say. And this is him explaining how he is going to do that. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from their least to their greatest, says Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Thus says Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the moon and the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, Yahweh of armies is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. If heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, only then will I also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says Yahweh. So God is saying, I will never cast you off. Although you have done these awful things to me, I love you. You are always my little boy, always my little girl. I will not cast you off for all that you have done. Of course, he does require repentance and recognition of sin for him to actually bring about their salvation, but he's going to wait until that happens and not cast them off. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that the city will be built to Yahweh from the tower of Hananel to the gate of the corner. The measuring line will go out further straight onward to the hill Garab, and turn about to Goar. The whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, all the fields to the brook Kidron, shall be holy to Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever.